In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In 1954, which was 66 years ago, I was preparing to enter the first grade at Mount Vernon Elementary School in Toledo, Ohio. I don't remember very much about the first grade. I remember the building. It was kind of a foreboding place with a big pile of coal out back. I also remember Miss Mabel. I don't remember her last name, my first grade teacher. About the only other thing I can remember about the first grade was a time when I was in the boys' bathroom. Another boy was making fun of a kid because he was what we called then colored. Word got back to Miss Mabel, and she lit into us like the fires of hell. That, obviously, I will never forget. If I scrape the skin off of each one of you, she said, you would all look exactly alike. That's a pretty graphic image for a six-year-old. It sure stuck with me, and that is probably exactly what Miss Mabel intended it to do. Now take that image to the first creation story in Genesis. You don't have to take this story literally to get the main theological points. There are many, very many, and I will only mention three this morning. First, God created everything from nothing, and since this is Trinity Sunday, I will also point out that the Spirit, referred to as the wind from God, participated in creation. We know from the prologue to the Gospel of John that Jesus did too. The second point is that everything God created was good. Now, God's definition of good may not be the same as ours, but creation was good, and God intended it to be so. The third point is that God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. In the diversity of humankind, we are all children of God, created in God's image. God's image is not talking about outward appearance, the color of our skin, the color of our hair, the color of eyes, or anything like that. It's talking about the disposition of our hearts and our minds. God's intention was that when we look at each other, we see God, or Christ, or the Holy Spirit. We see another child of God. If we see each other that way, that is going to change the way we treat each other. Children of God are to treat each other with civility, dignity, and respect. In our baptismal covenant, we've all promised to try to do that with God's help. Genesis is a reminder of that. If we read on in Genesis, beyond this passage, and I'm sure you're glad I did not, into what is known as the second creation story, we learn that humankind from the very beginning of human history has failed to relate to God and to one another as God intended. And that brings us to the passage from 2 Corinthians. Jesus came into the world to reset things. Jesus came to give us a new understanding of God. That understanding, simply stated, is that God is love. We, created in the image of God, are to reflect that love in all that we do. The Christian community at Corinth and in other places throughout the world at that time was an alternative to the secular world, a world that was characterized by vicious self-interest in the extreme. Paul tells the Corinthians, put things in order, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. I want to say a word about love. Jesus was not talking about physical love or affection. He was talking about a disposition of the heart and a disposition of the mind, a disposition that leads us to put the needs of others ahead of our own. As I used to tell my students when I taught in the middle school, love is an action verb, not a feeling verb. It has nothing to do with sentimentality. It does not mean we have to like someone. It does mean we are to relate to the rest of the human family in a caring and compassionate way. If this kind of love could spread as fast throughout the world as fear and hatred and vitriol spread, this world would be a whole lot closer to what God intended than it is today. And that brings me to the reading from Matthew, known as the Great Commission. Jesus tells us to do two things. First, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. This is about action. We are to go, we are to do, we are to go out into the world and spread the love of Christ. As our presiding bishop says over and over, we must strengthen our resolve to live by the way of a kind of love that seeks the good and well-being of others of our society and for ourselves. This way of love is the way. Second, we are to teach them to obey everything Jesus has commanded. This is pretty simple to understand because Jesus summarized his commandments very succinctly. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. Love God. Love your neighbor. Love yourself. As we look around at everything happening in the world in today, I am convinced that love, this kind of love that I described, is the only answer. Nothing else is going to work. It's not easy. But the power of the Holy Spirit is ours, and that is what it will take. As we boldly embrace this way of love, we can take comfort in the last words of the risen Christ. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Amen.